The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace. Navigators provide free local in-person support to all applicants. Enroll Alabama, 256-432-7494, 256-432-7494.
Welcome to another edition of the Healthy Alabama podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama and produced in partnership with our friends here at Praise 90.1 FM WJOU Oakwood University Radio. If you're a vegan, as I am, you know the trials and the tribulations of that journey. You also know that a lot has changed over the past 30 years. And it's a lot easier to be a vegan because there are more what I'm calling vegan entrepreneurs out there. And I can think of no better vegan entrepreneur in North Alabama to have on the Healthy Alabama podcast than my new friend, Chef Adair Mason, the proprietor of The Veggie. Chef, what's going on?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here and to talk about The Veggie and always talk about going vegan.
And I'm glad to have you here too. My only complaint is that you came here without any of that curry mock chicken salad. What's up with that?
I needed to get your review first because I hadn't heard from you since you tried it. So I need to get the official review how you felt about that.
Well, you know what? If I had known that was all you needed, I'd have sent you a text. Okay. The curry mock chicken salad is, I don't know what the current colloquial phrase is today. We used to say the bomb. We used to say all that in a bag of chips. I don't know. What are we saying these days? I don't know. Whatever it is, that's what it is.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, man. Let me tell you. I didn't know that jackfruit could be so good. But I'm digressing. Let's let's lay the foundation for people, and then we'll circle back around to jackfruit and mock chicken salad later. So you are, as I said, you are what I would call a vegan entrepreneur.
Yes.
You think that's a fair description?
I would. Yes, okay. That would be a great description.
All right. So tell folks about your business, what your business actually is.
Okay. Well, the two main concepts behind The Veggie are convenience and innovation. Those are two things that I really felt were important for us as vegans, and then specifically in this area when I looked at things that we needed to have. So The Veggie offers a few main services. First of all, we offer meal prep that is fully cooked and prepared and delivered to the client's door so that they're ready for the week ahead. Even all of our packaging is vegan. It is made from plants and recycled plastics.
The
and
packaging too?
Yes, yes. Wow. The packaging is made from compostable materials, plants, fruits and vegetables, and turns back into plant fiber in 90 days. So even our packaging is good for you.
Not edible.
Not edible. But it's also not leaking any harmful chemicals or anything into your food.
Wow, I didn't know that. So the container that my mock chicken curry came in.
That was made from corn.
Get out of here.
Yes.
Okay, this is awesome. Continue.
So meal prep is our primary service. As I said, that's fully cooked and prepared, ready for people to eat. We also teach transition classes to help people to go vegan one substitute at a time. A lot of people suffer from overwhelm when they're trying to go vegan, and it's about what do I do? What do I change? What do I buy? Mm. And so the transition classes that The Veggie offers focuses on one thing at a time to help people do it gradually. I also do catering for events, pop-up dining, which meets part of the innovation concept of making vegan food interesting and making events centered around vegan food interesting and something that people want to come to. And then the final service that I offer is more of on the personal chef side. So if folks need some in-home personal chef services, even traveling chef services, I do those things as well.
So the event that we attended was a pop-up brunch.
Yes.
And you had a nice live band there playing some nice music. You had a buffet and entrees. What were some of the things that you had on the buffet and entrees, just for people?
So for the entrees, those are probably my favorite things to talk about. The first thing that we had is a dish called apple and grits, which was made with a vegan seitan sausage, apple relish, and then creamy grits using a cheese made from tofu.
It was good.
We also had a vegan version of my mom's quiche that I had growing up. And that used a organic wheat crust, the follow your heart egg, seitan bacon, and then vegan cheese.
Now, what is seitan? S-E-I-T-A-N.
Yes. It's a meat substitute that's made from wheat gluten. So it is not safe for folks who have gluten sensitivities or gluten free because it is made from wheat. But it's a very, very versatile product. There's a great company that I've just started to partner with in Nashville that's small called The Beehive. And they are essentially a vegan butchery, if you will. They make all seitan meats, so from bacon to pastrami to sausages. They make a variety of things. So, yes, I've just started to partner with them. And they actually were the ones that the seitan products that I used at the brunch were supplied by the Beehive in Nashville, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then so the final dish that we had on the entree menu was called the jackfruit hash burrito. And
I can vouch for that one.
So that had some jackfruit, mango slaw, something I call island sauce, and then some crispy hash browns all wrapped up in a teff flour tortilla. So
it was working. It was working.
And then on the buffet, on the brunch, the appetizer buffet spread, we had a lot of things that are familiar to folks, but they were just vegan muffins, cinnamon rolls, biscuits, and those types of things that were familiar, but they were just vegan.
A wide array of those sorts of things, those sorts of products. And they were all, here's the thing that I think a lot of non-vegan people don't realize. Nowadays, vegan cooking has evolved to such an extent that you really can't tell what you're missing. I think that's a fair statement. Do you agree with
that? I would agree with that. And also because a lot of products that are out there are actually vegan and folks don't realize it. So I think that when we say a vegan cinnamon roll, for instance, people think, oh my goodness, what could that possibly be made out of? Mm-hmm. But when you look at some of the basic ingredients, well, you can get, you know, brown sugar, you know, is going to be vegan. if folks have ever used vegan butter, you know, as opposed to regular butter, you know, that's very close in taste, definitely the same in texture. Making a dough is not hard to make without dairy ingredients. So when you really start to break some of it down, it's not as drastic, I think, as people tend to think when we just put that label of vegan on the front.
That's a great point. Chef Adair Mason is our guest on the Healthy Alabama podcast today for this episode. She is the proprietor of a business called The Veggie. Now, you're in this not just as an entrepreneur, but as somebody who has a very unique, or maybe not so unique, I don't know, but certainly unique to you, story about your own evolution from being a meat eater to becoming a vegan. Talk about that. Tell us your story.
So when I was in my early 20s, I started to experience some health issues, a lot of issues with inflammation, digestive issues. I was even feeling puberty repeat itself with breakouts and things like that. And I just was really trying to figure out what was going on with my body. And it turned out that a lot of those things were connected to my diet. And so, again, I was in my early 20s. I was seeing a gastrointestinal specialist. I was going to these different doctors, trying to basically support the way that I was used to eating. And so I finally reached a point where I thought, this is maybe getting a little ridiculous, you know, maybe I just need to look at changing my diet. But it really, for me, showed me how hard, and the reason why I totally understand when people say they feel like they can't give up something, because changing your diet can be as much of a mental battle as it can be anything else. And so I finally realized that I needed to overcome that mental battle and change some things if I didn't want to be taking pills and medicine just to be able to eat the foods that I wanted. Another wake-up call for me was that I went to the doctor and found out that I had high cholesterol. And so they gave me a really short time to get that, you know, down in the workable range, or I was going to have to go on medicine for that as well. And so it showed me that even as a young person who was fairly active, you could still be very unhealthy. And so those were the things that initially led me to get serious about changing my diet. And the first benefit that I saw right away was that high cholesterol go down within less than 3 months of going to a plant-based diet, my cholesterol was totally down in normal range. And so that was the first benefit I saw. The next benefit I saw was improvement with my sinus and allergy issues. My whole life, especially folks know living in Alabama with all the pollen things that we deal with down here. Mm. And so I had just grown up accustomed to taking allergy and sinus medicine. It was just the way of life. I was used to getting sinus infections, and it was just what I was used to. But in the 4 years that I've been vegan, I've been sick twice in those 4 years. I have not had to take any allergy or sinus medicine. So those were some of the immediate benefits that I got, and it made me realize that, whoa, this food thing is really huge. It can really make a big impact on my body inside and out. And so for me, just starting to have those problems creep up and then also seeing them start to go away as I gradually changed my diet really led me to get serious about going fully vegan.
How did you know that the diet was the solution?
Well, I had done what so many other people do. You know, we get these gym memberships and we get all excited for the new year. Or, you know, we think that the answer to changing our body is by getting a gym membership. But even most trainers will tell you that the main way to see benefits is by changing your diet, changing how you eat, what you eat, the frequency that you eat. And so I knew that I was a fairly active person going to the gym and things like that, but I was still having these health issues. And so that's what led me to look into more than just activity, but also what I was putting in my body as well.
Okay. So you said, or you alluded to the fact that the change did not happen overnight. You didn't just cold turkey, pun intended, I guess, become a I'm so used to saying that. It just kind of came out, and then I thought, that's funny. But cold turkey, or let's say immediately, you didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm a vegan now, and just immediately stopped eating all meat.
No, I was a meat eater, and actually what started my journey was actually doing a 31-day Daniel fast. I just happened to be doing the fast with some friends, and I had never actually done the Daniel fast for 31 days.
Well, what is that? Just for people who don't know, what is the Daniel fast?
So I joke around and say the Daniel fast is actually worse than being vegan. So if you can do that, you can definitely be vegan. But with the Daniel fast, taking out so many of the, taking out processed foods and products, really almost strictly stripping you down to fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains. And so nothing processed and things like that.
And it's called the Daniel fast because of the biblical Daniel. And the I think it's that passage where in the Bible it talks about Daniel saying to the Babylonian overseer, all I want is fruits, nuts, and grains.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And so the diet really, or the fast really mimics that. And now it has evolved where there's an actual Daniel fast website that has even great recipes you can use during the fast and things like that to keep you on track with the guidelines. But that's where my journey started. And so I just thought I would do that with that group of friends. We thought we would just make a sacrifice with the new year coming up and, you know, just kind of getting our heads clear about goals and things that we wanted to do. But what I found after those 31 days is that I had just totally lost the taste for meat. And I was told, you know, oh, just give it some time, it'll come back. And so I was actually trying to force myself to get back. You know, I thought, well, I really want some chicken fingers, and I really want to get back to my regular diet. But when I tried to force myself to do that, my body was not having it. And so within about a 2 month period, I just went ahead and immediately switched to pescatarian because I knew that I could still process seafood, I could still eat seafood, but meat, it was pretty much over.
So no more red meat of any kind or white meat?
None.
Just seafood?
Just seafood.
What kinds of seafood?
So at first I was doing, you know, all types of seafood because I was still wrestling with having to give up meat. It was still that mental battle of, okay, I see that my body is rejecting it, but I would like to be able to eat it. That's what I'm used to eating. That's what I'm used to, what I can make taste good or taste palatable. And so I was trying to get back there. So in the beginning, I was eating any types of seafood. And then over time, what I found is that I think because my body was just not used to getting any meat, even the texture of some types of seafood started to feel like I was still eating meat. And so I started to see that mental barrier break down as my body was letting me know what it liked and what it didn't like. And even just making the mental connection between what I was chewing, just thinking, wow, this feels like meat, so I don't feel comfortable eating this anymore. And so over the course of the year that I was pescatarian, I started to, you know, take out more types of seafood during the end, like shrimp and some of the other kind of, I guess, what you consider bottom feeders.
Yeah, shrimp, catfish, lobster.
Right. I started to take those things out and move just towards some, you know, white fish, things that didn't have a strong flavor. And then after about a year, about 12 to 14 months of doing that, I moved to vegetarian. And I realized that I was at the point where I was ready to do it, and I was ready to give up even the semblance of meat. And so at that time, of course, I was still eating dairy products and still eating animal byproducts, if you will.
Eggs.
Right. And so, but that transition from vegetarian to vegan was where my gastrointestinal specialist and I had a discussion about maybe it's just time to fully change my diet. Maybe it's just time to actually, if my body is responding well to these gradual changes I'm making in diet, maybe that's just the way to go. And so my journey from vegetarian to veganism, that only lasted about 6 months before I was able to really go full vegan and really lean fully into it.
What made it difficult or challenging?
The thing that made it the most challenging is what I think most people would say, which is cheese. Mm-hmm. That was the thing that was the most challenging. And when I did my research, I found out why. What a lot of people may not be aware of is that when cheese is processed, it produces a chemical compound that that the brain responds to similarly that it responds to heroin. And so,
Wait a minute.
Yes.
We have to slow down on that. Really?
Yes.
And now when you're saying similar to heroin, do you mean in terms
the way
of,
that it makes your brain crave it and want more?
Oh, okay. So there's an addictive
quality. Yes, there's a chemical.
Wow.
There's a chemical compound that is produced in all of the processing of cheese and dairy. And then basically the way to look at it is that the more solid the product is, the more of that compound it has in it. So for instance, a block of cheese will have more of that compound than a shredded cheese. It's a dense, it's heavy. And so that chemical compound affects your brain. It tells you, I want more. I need this. And it creates a craving for it. And so when I found that out about cheese and some other dairy products, when I hear people now say, I can't give up cheese, I can tell them, I know that it's a very hard struggle. I know that you literally feel that way because your brain is telling you, we need more of this.
You said with cheese, what about with ice cream? Because that was my... That's my big issue, I'm telling you. To this day, I haven't had any dairy products intentionally for years, but the thing that I really still craved, even I'll even say over the past few years, is that sort of creamy, ice creamy, you know, sort of feel. It's the texture as well as the taste.
Yes. So with ice cream, again, like I said, the more solid the product is, the more of the concentration of that compound you have. So just think about something like ice cream that melts, like I said, shredded cheeses, things like that. They have a less concentration of that compound. But the more solid your product is, yes, the more you will feel, in a sense, addicted or like you're craving that product.
Chef Adair Mason is with us here on the Healthy Alabama podcast. She is the proprietor of a great business called The Veggie, and she does vegan meals that can be ordered, and she also does catering, and she is part of this rising class of vegan entrepreneurs that we see in our country. And of course, this was like, for many people, they make major life decisions and sometimes even build businesses based on something that has happened in their life, some deficit or some need. And so that's what your business has come out of. Now, what were you doing before you started doing The Veggie?
So before I started the business, I actually worked in missile defense. I have 2 degrees in engineering, one in industrial and systems engineering and a master's degree in systems engineering. And so I worked in the defense industry with the government for several years. And my last job was actually as a weapons systems engineer.
That's a heck of a transition from a weapons engineer to a vegan chef.
Yes.
Did you, was cooking like a hobby or something? Or
well,
because your food is good, girl. That's what I'm trying to get to. Your food is good. So I'm trying to figure out, how did you make that transition?
Well, cooking has always been a huge part of my life. I grew up with what I guess we would call now one of those old school mothers, you know, who said, okay, if you can't live in the house and not know how to contribute to the house, you need to know how to cook, clean, okay, you know. Okay. And so I started cooking very young, and I had responsibility in the kitchen very young, not just come help, but you should be able to master this item by now, so you're responsible for making it.
Wow. So, okay, mama didn't play.
No.
Okay.
So cooking has always been a very big part of my life. I have always been a person who has cooked more than she's eaten out. Was the way I was raised. You know, if you want to guarantee it tastes good, you make it instead of going out and chancing that you're not going to get what you want. Okay. And so that was how I was raised. That's how I, you know, pretty much came up. Even as a young person in college, I always still cooked more at home than I did eating out. And I just, over the years, as I transitioned out of meat into a plant-based lifestyle, I felt very challenged by the fact that my food still needed to taste just as good as when I was, you know, eating meat and cooking meat. And so I took that as a personal challenge. And so as I was transitioning, I was always experimenting, always trying to get things just right. I was always using a lot of the recipes I grew up on, seeing if I could mimic the texture and taste. So I just took it as a personal challenge over the years to continue to do that. And even among my friends, I wanted to be able to make really solid, good food so that I could also introduce people that I love and care about, you know, to eating more of a plant-based diet. So I took it as a personal challenge. And then the thing that really pushed me last year was when my mother passed away. Mm. My mother and I had always secretly talked about it would be really neat to go into the food industry. But I think, like a lot of people who have dreams and you also have a 9-to-5, you know, you're looking at the bills and you just think, I don't have time for the dream. I only have time to pursue what I have to get done to pay the bills every month. But losing my mom so early and unexpectedly, and from some things that actually could have been prevented by a better diet, it made me take another look at, you know, what I was doing to contribute to my community and others with this newfound love that I had for a plant-based lifestyle. And then also just what I was doing with myself as a person, you know, wasting away in a job that I was not passionate about. And so if I could go out and do something I was really passionate about and also help people and hopefully keep someone else's mom here longer than mine was here, it really became a motivation to start the business. And so I've told people that I think because something scarier happened than quitting my job, losing my mother, it made quitting my job not so scary. Mm. And so when I returned to work after, you know, taking some time away, I knew that it was time to go and time to really just pursue the business. So I finally finished the business plan I had been working on for 2 years, and I finally started tightening up the aspects to really start the business and get it established with the state. And so it was just that push, I think, that I needed. Not a push I was expecting, but the push that I needed to really move forward and do something with the dream that I had.
I didn't know that part of your story. That's very moving. The business model that you've created is not conventional.
Right.
Is it successful?
Yes. And I think one reason why it is successful is because one of the main things that people want in this day and age is they want convenience. Our time is a huge commodity. Even if we are wasting that time on social media or whatever it may be, our time is a commodity. And so people care about convenience, getting things fast, you know, getting things in a way that doesn't cost them a lot of time away from what they value as important. And that was actually a big aspect of what my mom and I talked about in entering the food industry, is that whatever we did, we wanted it to be convenient for people. And we wanted it to be something that they would want at their fingertips. And so with the business, being able to take the product to people, to take it to them, delivering it to their door, or having pop-ups in places where people are desiring for vegan events or food, teaching classes in different places around the city. Actually, with my classes, I target different homes. I actually host my classes in different homes around the city to also influence that aspect of reinforcing that you can do this at home and you can take these things to your own kitchen. But I think that concept of just moving around and being where people are has been working very well so far, as opposed to just being in one stationary place and waiting for people to come to me. I've been able to go to people and actually take my product to them, and I have found that that's been really successful so far.
So you have a delivery service, a vegan delivery service. You have a vegan, we'll call it special event sort of component, where you do what you call these pop-ups, where you'll just literally say, okay, we're going to take this space here, rent this space here, and do a brunch. And you use social media to advertise that.
Yes.
And then you do these preparation, or transition classes. I'm sorry, I said preparation. I meant transition. Transition classes. And so with those components, you've been able to piece together a very successful business model.
Yes. And I think that what I have been able to touch on is some of the gaps in what people are looking for when it comes to veganism. So, for instance, people looking for education, how can I transform ingredients? And, now that I am plant-based, what do I do with these different products that I'm seeing? And how do I make things taste good? How do I get my family on board, my kids on board? So the classes really hit to what a lot of people need, which is education. And more than the education, just the confidence to go into their own kitchens and transform and be creative and be willing to try new things. With the meal prep service, being able to offer convenience and more variety, which is something that we needed in this area. So my menu changes every week so that people have a lot of variety in what they're ordering. We offer a variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinners. I also make my own drinks. And so we try to offer a variety of things so that people aren't bored with veganism, that it's still interesting and it still tastes good. And it's somewhat familiar to them, which is one reason why I say that I specialize in vegan comfort food. Not just comfort is in the sense of Southern comfort, Southern food, but any type of food that makes you feel comforted, something that's hearty, that gives you a certain feeling, makes you feel full. That's a concern people have with vegan food. So I think that my business has been able just to touch on some different aspects, variety, convenience, education, things that we didn't really have here before.
We're almost out of time. I have to circle back now to the jackfruit discussion. But before I do that, I have to say, you talked about making your own drinks. That hibiscus, what do you call that?
Hibiscus water.
Hibiscus water. Scrumptious. Really good.
Thank you.
Really, really good.
Yeah,
I have to say.
I actually, after I lost my mom, I took a grief trip to Mexico, where I cooked with some chefs there in different parts of Mexico. I traveled to a few different spots while I was there. And I tried hibiscus water for the first time there. It's a traditional Mexican fresca, as they call it.
Oh,
and so
okay.
That's where I fell in love with it. They make it a lot sweeter in Mexico than I make it here. But it was where I was introduced to the flavor and the taste, and something I brought back and tried to make my own.
And I thought it was fairly sweet. I don't remember it being overly sweet, but certainly it was sweet. It
yes.
had a sweetness to it. Okay, so you take jackfruit and you do amazing things with jackfruit that I didn't realize could be done. What's generally speaking, and tell folks, well, let's start with this. Tell folks briefly what jackfruit is and then what your approach is to preparing it.
So jackfruit is an amazing fruit. People always want to know the flavor of it, and it very much depends on the state that you get it in, whether you get a young jackfruit or whether you get one that's more mature, that's sweeter. So the taste could vary. But I would say to people, somewhere in the maybe the family of a mango to papaya, but not nearly as sweet. Jackfruit is You can get it fresh. You can get it canned. Most of the time in the stores, you can get organic young jackfruit canned, and that's what you would use for more of a savory preparation. It's not going to be very sweet. It's usually just preserved in a very light brine, and so you can just rinse that and use it however you want. If you're getting a jackfruit that's a little more mature and that's sweeter, you would want to use that more in a dessert preparation. And sometimes I find in this area when I am able to find a fresh one, they're usually on the sweeter side. So a lot of times for savory preparations, I am sticking to the canned jackfruit, which I think is common for a lot of people in areas like ours.
Where does it grow?
That's actually a good question. I'm actually not sure where they're... where they're indigenous. I believe it's more of like your South American countries, though.
I wondered about that. I'd never heard of it until just within the past couple of years. But so you take this fruit, as it is called, and you are able to use it as a substitute for meat.
Yes, and there's so much that you can do with it. The texture of it is kind of like maybe similar to a pulled pork as far as like the shredding of it or a shredded chicken. And because it has a mild flavor, you can really flavor with all sorts of things. You can barbecue it. You know, you can give it a curry flavor as you taste it with the curry chicken salad.
Mm-hmm.
There was another chicken salad that I had at the brunch that was just with raw jackfruit. It wasn't cooked at all. But you can also roast jackfruit.
I had some of that. It was very good. In fact, I was resisting getting more of that. So that I could save room for the entree. That was very good.
Yeah, so there's so much you can do with it. And as you can see, that one has a different flavor than the curry chicken salad you have where the jackfruit is roasted. And so there's some different flavors pulled out. You can even roast the seeds of the jackfruit, and those are edible as well. So like with many plants, you can use almost all of it, you know, for eating and for other things.
Chef Adair Mason is the proprietor of The Veggie. If folks want to reach out to you to get information about your services, how can they do it?
So we have a very detailed website that folks can go to, www.eattheveggie.com. There you can read about me, you can read about all the services that we offer, you can schedule a phone consultation. You can visit our shop to see all the products that we currently have available. So the website pretty much has everything. We're also on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. So pretty much any of the major social media sites, folks can connect with us as well and see what we've got going on.
Y'all are this newfangled 21st century social media based business. But you're also doing things outside of social media, and that's
yes.
Good. And hopefully we'll see more of that in the near future. Chef Adair Mason, thank you for joining us
for
the Healthy Alabama podcast. It's been great to have you. And next time I see you, all I want is for you, you don't even have to say anything. Just hand me
the chicken salad.
Hand me the curry chicken salad and then we'll be good.
Okay.
Because there's some tension between us right now, but we'll be good if you do that.
Got it.
The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by our friends at Enroll Alabama and produced with our friends here at Praise 90.1 FM WJOU Oakwood University Radio. Our theme music was produced by my man DJ Bailey. Yeah, he's a mix master and he created our theme music. Until next time, be healthy.